All right, lawyer talk off the record on the air. What do we do when we're not on the air?
Think.
We talk about law. We're lawyers. Look, we take questions all the time, and we have a whole series called Q&A. This is an interesting one because we just did one segment, and then Troy was talking to me. He goes, hey, I had a cop who asked me a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, let's just hit the button. All right, yeah. So what's the question?
So my friend who's a police officer pulled somebody over, and when he pulled over that individual.
In a car.
In a car.
Car stop.
There's four people inside the car. My cop buddy takes them all out of the car.
All right, so first of all, we've got a stop of a car. That's a significant intrusion that requires justification under the Fourth Amendment. Mm-hmm. That's according to the U.S. Supreme Court. I think it's Delaware versus Prowse.
And he had probable cause. It's a traffic violation
or something.
Yeah. Something he had it, actually.
So four people in the car, and your friend, being a dutiful officer, maybe, says everybody out of the car. People hate this, by the way. This is Pennsylvania versus Mims. We did a show on this, and the comments are horrific.
Yeah.
I'm not here to tell you I like it. I'm not telling you I agree. But like it or not, if there's a legitimate traffic stop, they're going to be able to order you out. And you can say, well, it requires this, requires that. It's done. They're going to be able to order everybody out. And if you don't, people are getting arrested, like it or not.
He's lying. He's actually a huge advocate for Mims. He thinks it's the greatest decision ever. My cop buddy takes them all out of the car. Everybody's a little upset because they're getting taken out of the car. They have similar opinions.
I didn't do nothing wrong. Why are you getting me out of the car? Mm-hmm. Screw you and your mother.
And they are using a lot of profanity, cussing at him, everything. Specifically, one of the passengers are. He sobriety tests the driver, however. Driver passes, flying colors. They all get back in the car. They all leave.
So does everybody get a sobriety test?
Just the driver.
Okay.
But he says he smells alcohol coming off of them, and they're slurring their speech.
They being everybody but the driver.
Yes.
So these people, in theory, were doing it responsibly. They had their buddy who, hey, you drew the short stick today. You don't get to drink. You got to drive us.
Responsibly so far.
So far. Okay. Things get out of hand as you might guess.
Yeah. So they continue driving. I guess everybody's right by this bar. That's where they get pulled over. The driver drops off all the passengers into the parking lot, and all those passengers get in their cars.
Right. Here we go. So, look, this is great. So they start with a designated driver. This happens all the time. People are like, with Uber and all this, how do you ever get drunk driving business? This is it. Right. This is it. Because you have a designated driver before you go out. Or I'm going to take Uber and everything's going to be cool and I won't drive home. But then what happens? I get drunk and I make dumb decisions. We just did an alcohol thing. This is great. I make dumb decisions when I'm drunk because alcohol impairs my ability to make smart decisions. No, you're not stupid. The alcohol made you stupid. I promise.
And whenever they all get in the cars, he sees them, pulls out. He follows the one that was being.
So you're doing what I hate. He's using pronouns, guys.
I don't know their names, and I don't want to give their names.
All right. So passenger gets out of the car that the police pulled over, and passenger gets into his own car.
Yes.
And the police officer sees that and says, huh, I got a live one.
Yep.
I'm going to follow this guy. Take it from there.
Police officer then pulls over passenger.
Passenger
is now driver, but now just pulled over the individual one.
Okay.
So my first question.
For what? Yeah, that's your question.
My first question being just in a stellar academic weapon of a law student, I say, why did you pull him over? What was your probable cause? And the cop said, based on my interaction in the last stop.
I thought he might be under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah.
All right. So look, let's break this down. First of all, you've said we need probable, what's your probable cause? Well, we don't really need probable cause. Probable cause is enough, but reasonable suspicion, something less than probable cause, is good enough. Mm. And reasonable suspicion is a reasonable articulable suspicion that there may be criminal activity afoot. Mm. In other words, would a reasonable person look at this and say, I think there might be a crime going on, so I'm going to go conduct a limited stop. This emerged out of the Terry versus Ohio a Terry stop on the side of the road, like walking and talking, you know, those kind of things, or a detention. But it's been applied to a car stop. So reasonable suspicion.
Yep.
And the reasonable suspicion this cop would say is, well, guess what? Just 10 minutes ago, I pulled over this car. This passenger in the car was drunk. I could see clues. He was emitting an odor of alcohol. He had bloodshot eyes, slurred speech, unsteady on his feet. And guess what? He was telling me to go F my mother and you're an asshole. So I thought, well, huh, that guy's drunk. He's allowed to say those things to me, but he's drunk.
Yeah.
Now, what he's not allowed to do is get in his car and drive off.
Mm-hmm.
Now the cop pulls him over. So what I would want to know is whether your officer saw... Well, hold on. Before I ask my question, you tell me what his question was.
Well, his question was, can he stop a car based on his first interaction? From the first stop.
So look, he's not going to like the law school answer. Yes, if you had reasonable suspicion that criminal activity is afoot. In other words, if you can articulate the basis for that stop, that basis being, look, I interacted with this gentleman just moments ago, and he was under the influence of alcohol, and here's why I know that, because of these clues. I knew he was likely under the influence of alcohol. So therefore, now he doesn't have to prove that he was under the influence of alcohol. He just has to have a reasonable basis for concluding it, and so therefore he could pull him over. Now, as an enterprising as a budding young criminal defense attorney, how do you handle this?
I'm thinking that the officer had some little vendetta ever since he got his mom cussed at him.
If I had this guy on the witness stand, I would definitely be pointing those things out. Yeah. I don't know what he said, what was said,
yeah.
But we do know that the passenger was being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just give it at that.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
And then the officer then chose to follow them further to the bar where they were getting dropped off at. And then, officer, you chose to stay there and not pull over cars 1, 2, or 3 that left. You waited specifically for the car that had my client in there.
All right. So now you're trying to lend credence to the idea that this was a vindictive stop.
Yeah.
Just because the guy, we don't know what the guy said, but we're sort of assuming that there was something. Mm-hmm. But you're missing something that's sort of meaty in there. Your job officer.
There's not a nexus between the first stop and the second stop, maybe?
No. Your job officer is to protect the safety of the public.
Yeah, yes.
True. And that means it's not just to get people for committing crimes, but maybe help people not commit crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you've said that you had interaction with this gentleman and you thought he was under the influence of alcohol.
Yes.
And you followed the car?
Yes.
The initial car you stopped?
Mm-hmm.
To the bar?
Yes.
You watched the driver get out?
Yes.
There's 3 other passengers?
Yes.
You saw each one of them get out?
Mm-hmm.
And our hero here, John Doe, who you later pulled over, he gets out of the rear passenger side of the car. I'm making this up, but yes.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you watch him get out of that car, walk over to his car. Yes?
Yes.
And all the time, you're right there watching that.
Yes.
Yards away.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they saw me watching them, but I was watching.
You're watching. Close enough to see it?
Yes.
Close enough to stop it?
That is correct.
In other words, you developed a suspicion that you've said that this gentleman is under the influence of alcohol.
That's correct.
And you're telling me that this is not, you're not contaminated or influenced in any way by the foul, filthy mouth that this man unleashed on you.
That's correct.
Weren't offended by his insult of your mother?
No.
Of your wife?
Nope.
Of your very manhood and its length?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Length is a stretch.
You said stretch. And it was solely because of your suspicion that this gentleman was under the influence of alcohol.
Yes.
And back to your job, to serve and protect, right?
That's correct.
The safety not only of the public,
mm-hmm.
but the guy you're stopping.
That's correct.
So you're looking at the judge right here, and you're saying you let a guy that you knew was under the influence of alcohol get behind the wheel and drive a car.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you let that happen.
I stopped it the minute it pulled out.
The minute he pulled out.
Onto
so
public
you road. Understand that getting behind the wheel of a car while under the influence of alcohol is a very dangerous endeavor. In fact, that's why we're here.
Yes.
And you understand that driving even 10 feet could cause harm to somebody.
That's correct.
9 feet? That's 8?
1 foot.
One foot, right? Somebody could be behind. Those are the mistakes that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if this gentleman's under the influence, you never ask why of a cross-examination until you've done it for 31 years. So if that's the fact, why on earth would you let him drive if he's actually under the influence of alcohol?
I don't know.
And it's not because he pissed you off?
No, it's not because he pissed me off.
Of course not. That's the cross-examination. Now, you're going to lose, but it sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good.
You're going to lose, but it sounds good.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So back to your officer's question. Yes, I think he can pull him over, but I think I've seen this. Look, this isn't my first rodeo. I have probably done that cross-exam. I don't know how many times, but mm-hmm. I've done it before.
Yeah.
And the idea here is that I would tell your officer, look, we want our police officers to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
We want our police officers to do their job. And we want our police officers to stop people from drinking and driving. But we don't want them necessarily to lay a trap for people and then just get them.
Yeah.
Now, it could be, and this may be controversial, I don't know. It could be that had he tried to stop this guy, or maybe he wasn't close enough to stop, I don't know the facts, we made him up to some mm-hmm. extent, but had he had tried to stop this guy and said, hey, look, don't get behind the wheel of your car, do yourself a favor, call a cab. Now, if the guy is a schmuck or it continues to be belligerent, he might get arrested for other reasons. I'm not protecting that guy necessarily. But for the integrity of the stop, that's what I would do. And you could say, well, you're just a shifty, no good, rotten defense lawyer. Guilty, right? I mean, that's what I do. But our job is to make sure that we protect our constitutional rights. And look, I think this stop would probably still be upheld.
Yeah.
But like I said, it would look good doing it.
Yeah. You could twist the cop a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe he does something different the next time. Probably
maybe
not.
He does something different, because isn't the idea here, officer, for not to have crime?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the idea, right?
Yeah. Go to pull into that parking lot, say, everybody stop right now. Don't get in these cars.
Now, in the comments, I think I can already hear it. What about entrapment? Is this entrapment?
No, he'd have to be, for it to be entrapment.
There's a whole other reason that you're missing immediately. There's no mens rea for drinking and driving.
Oh, yeah. But
so there's no mental state. There's no doing it knowingly, purposely, or whatever. Entrapment would negate that.
I feel like the people think of like entrapment, though, as like just like undercover stuff almost. Entrapment's like you actually have to convince somebody who wasn't planning on doing it. Like, you gotta go out of your way. Like, man, you should really do this. You should really do this.
Right. You can't, the suspect or the defendant cannot be predisposed to commit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy was clearly, he was clearly.
He was just jangling the keys.
Disposed.
He's like,
he was clearly predisposed. Like, he's like, I'm getting home, you know, screw this sleeping on the couch business. And mm-hmm. I don't, Uber schmoober, that costs too much.
Yeah.
My account's over.
It's in the red.
It's in the red anyway, right? I don't have any money. You have enough money, believe me, because when you call us, it costs a lot more than what the Uber would have cost. But anyway, look, if you got a question like Troy's friend, please submit it in the comments. Go to lawyertalkpodcast.com, where we are off the record on the air, not giving legal advice, folks. We're just answering these legal conceptual questions.
Mm-hmm.
Till next time. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.